Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
Welcome to Game Day, Fantasy Sports Today, the Sunday edition. We're excited to kick it off week 8. It feels like we just got this season going. We say this every year around this time. It feels like we just got started, just getting into a rhythm, and now we're halfway done. So we have another early London game, so we'll be excited about that. These guys will be taking you through that in the second hour of the show. I'll be here for the first hour today. Got a little bit going on for the second show from 10 to 1, but that's not of our concern right now. What is our concern right now? Some of the major news stories that will impact your fantasy lineups and impact your lineups in general. Going through all the games today, and we kick it off with just a quick note on the Dolphins-Texans game, which occurred on Thursday. Blowout win for the Texans. And Scott, who I'll introduce on Twitter, at Scott E. Roto X. Scott Engel, he's the Fantasy Hall of Famer. He is the Managing Director of Roto Experts, and we'll be taking his rankings and using them to walk through a lot of the players today. But Scott, Deshaun Watson has the type of game that a lot of people that drafted him early expected him to have. Extremely efficient, 16 of 20, and he has the 5 touchdown passes. So Deshaun Watson with a signature game on Thursday night.
Yeah, good morning. And, like I will always say about, you know, these type of performances, you're off to what you feel is a good start, but you can't assume that you're going to win or lose either way. For instance, if you have Andrew Luck going against him and he outscores him, it just meant that Watson went earlier. So you can't assume either way it's a win or a loss. People say to me, "Oh, I got off to a good start." Your game just started earlier than 13 others. So it's nice, but it doesn't put anything in the bag.
Yeah. Jim, a lot of good performances actually on that Thursday night game. 42-23, so many points to be scored. Watson was good. Lamar Miller, his best game of the year. And you had Will Fuller with a monster game. And unfortunately, he's lost for the season with a torn ACL. So this is Jim Day at Fantasy Taz. Jim, first of all, good morning. And second of all, what do you think the impact is going forward on Will Fuller missing out on the rest of these games?
Oh, good morning, Mike. Good morning, Scott. Again, good Sunday morning to everyone who's listening. Football Sunday is always a great day. Look, it's definitely going to impact. Watson and Fuller definitely had a connection, especially for the big plays. You know, Fuller scored a lot of touchdowns with Watson, and, you know, they're going to miss that. You know, it looks right now that, you know, it's going to be hard to replicate what those two had, but they're going to have to find somebody else on the other side. And, you know, I just don't know if it's going to be somebody that we can trust on a weekly basis. But it seems to be all the beat writers are talking about Vincent Smith as the next guy up. You know, somebody we haven't seen yet, nobody knows anything about. So it's really hard to say how much that impacts the offense, either positively or negatively. But right now, I'm betting it's going to be negatively. Watson played a great game, 5 touchdowns. We know we've heard all week, you know, more touchdowns than incompletions, yada, yada, yada. But a lot of that was due to Miami's defense just playing a terrible game. 3 of Watson's touchdowns were to players that were simply wide open.
Yeah, that's a great point, Jim, because even Cameron Wake called them out, for not putting any pressure on the QB. Now, Watson had taken more hits as a quarterback than anybody in the league going into Thursday night's game by a pretty significant margin percentage wise. And they didn't get any pressure on him. This offensive line has struggled, but the other night they played a great game. Honestly, if the Texans offensive line plays like this the rest of the year, they're going to be extremely dangerous, even without Will Fuller. Kiki Kuti didn't play the other night. He's been a guy that's had quite a number of targets in the games in which he's played. So I would imagine when he's healthy and can come back, he fills in for some of what Will Fuller provides. But that's really a different type of target altogether. Will Fuller's a downfield explosive wide receiver. Kuti is not that. But on the flip side of things, you actually got some productive games out of Kenyon Drake, out of Devontae Parker. I don't know how you would have played him. Trusted playing Devontae Parker unless you were desperate. Danny Amendola has a good game because he threw a touchdown pass. So overall, fantasy goodness. Will Fuller is the fallout from that. So it's unfortunate, but I just wanted to put a quick bow on that game. And we're off to a good start with fantasy performances. I played against Deshaun Watson in our staff league here. So we're 31 points down. Still have a shot to win it, obviously. So the big news, unfortunately, in advance of this Jaguars-Eagles game in London, is that four Jaguars players allegedly were arrested for trying to run out on a bar bill. Now, obviously, there's details that have yet to emerge, but needless to say, it's a major distraction for a team that was already, Scott, filled with distractions, locker room arguments. Jalen Ramsey sort of being open about the fact that, yeah, we're fighting right now. You know what's going on. The offense can't put it in the end zone, and we're being put in bad positions. It's effectively what he was saying. And now this, you'd have to think that this is going to be a bad look for the Jaguars today, but stranger things have happened.
Yeah, you know, I was of the mindset that sometimes when, you know, this happens to a team and they start to fall apart, you know, they close the locker room doors, they have a team meeting, say it's us against the world, and they play better. But now, you know, they go over to London and, you know, their defensive backs get in trouble. And, you know, they've been getting in enough trouble on the field, allowing 60 points over the last two games and 90 over the last three, and Jalen Ramsey isn't even playing as well as they are. So, you know, don't be afraid to, you know, roll out your Eagles today. I still see people over the weekend on social media saying, I'm worried about this matchup. This team is not playing as good as advertised.
Yeah, Jim, according to NFL.com, the Jaguars involved were Barry Church, safety Ronnie Harrison, quarterback DJ Hayden, who's injured and wasn't going to play. So talk about a distraction. And safety Gerard Wilson. So it seems like the bar bill was settled, the $64,000 bar bill. That's a hefty bar bill, Jim. I've been out some long days and some long evenings. I've never run up a tab like that, but it seems like there was a confrontation regarding it. Some players were detained, and it was settled. It doesn't look like charges will be pressed moving forward, but this will lead to some NFL discipline, I would imagine, long term, although they can't do anything really before the game today.
I'm not really worried about the long-term ramifications of the NFL because who knows? It may take them a year to figure out what the heck to do here. But I'm a little worried about what the Jaguars do internally and whether or not they do anything to these four guys for this game this week. You know, I find it hard, you know, from a team standpoint. They need this win. They got to keep up with the Texans, so they need this win. But at the same time, if you're trying to prove a point to a locker room that's just unsettled at this point, this might be their showcase to say, well, look, nobody's above anything, and we might sit these guys, let's say, for a quarter or for a half, and what that actually does to the defense. And that scares me a little bit.
Yeah, for a team that's run by Doug Marrone and at a greater level, Tom Coughlin, you would think there would be some immediate discipline. Like I said, Hayden is inactive. I'll transition that into the inactives because the Jaguars' inactives for today do contain some important defensive backs. A.J. Bouye will not be playing today. Tyler Patman, D.J. Hayden, Leonard Fournette, obviously we know is out. Tight end James Shaughnessy, we already knew was out. So clearly the fact that these defensive backs were involved in it, in addition to the fact that A.J. Bouye is injured and out, is a lot. I don't know that you could suspend. I mean, one of the guys wasn't going to play, but with Bouye out, can you suspend three more defensive backs? I mean, you might have linebackers playing at safety, and then you're really just hampering the team. It's a difficult decision to make. From a discipline standpoint, you want to do it immediately, but you only have so many guys out there. So
on the Eagles side.
That's what I'm saying. That's why it scares me. I agree. I totally agree. We just don't know what they're going to do. Do they want to send a message to the whole team, or do they want to win right this minute? I mean, I lean towards them wanting to win right this minute, but we just don't know.
Yeah, and Scott, to be clear, we have an inactives list. Those players don't have to be listed as inactive. They can be in uniform and just not put out there on the field.
Yeah, they could just be disciplined. Maybe they don't start the game, et cetera, something like that.
Yeah. Eagles inactives. Darren Sproles out yet again. You have safety Corey Graham is out, and quarterback Sidney Jones is out. He's been struggling when he's been on the field, so I can't tell you whether that's an upgrade or a downgrade. We'll see who's behind him. And those are the inactives thus far. Right now, some other key injury news. Allen Robinson is not expected to play for the Bears today. So before we get into our rankings and all that kind of stuff, Scotty, what do you think that would mean for the Bears? Anthony Miller is coming back. I've seen some things that suggest. In fact, Evan Silva from Roto World mentioned on Twitter that when Robinson was out in the past, it really saw an uptick in targets for Anthony Miller in the slot. Do you think it's an Anthony Miller day? I have Taylor Gabriel. I'm more excited about his opportunities with Robinson out than anybody else. But your thoughts really on Allen Robinson being out?
My initial thoughts were Anthony Miller was going to be a sneaky play until I saw the weather reports. Me that I really don't pay much attention to it unless it's very windy, and it's going to be very, very windy. As Drew Dinkmeyer points out on DailyRoto.com this morning, this game could have up to 30-mile-an-hour wind gusts, and according to NFLweather.com, there's going to be 19-mile-an-hour winds in the second half. So, I think this puts a ding in any expectations too here, because you also have to have these guys step up in a bigger role here. Look, the Jets secondary has been tattered and torn, but I think you have to temper your expectations here. I'm not going to play Anthony Miller over, say, Geronimo Allison, based on this. Right now I'm tempering my expectations because of the weather. It's supposed to be rainy and windy throughout the day, probably the worst weather of the week.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. It is the worst weather. 49 degrees and 18 miles an hour at kickoff. But like you said, it could get a lot worse than that. There's a few other games where, the temperatures have dropped, obviously, across the board. You have a little bit of drizzle in Cincinnati as well with 12-mile-an-hour winds. Everybody else, for the most part, looks to be okay, although it will be pretty darn cold in Buffalo tomorrow night, 38 degrees. I don't know that that impacts anything, but it is something that is worth noting.
Both teams are pretty much used to playing in that cold weather, so I don't see that. But just to get back to Chicago, actually think this plays more into Anthony Miller's hands than Taylor Gabriel.
Okay.
Taylor Gabriel is more that big play guy. Going to be hard to throw down the field in that wind.
I agree.
So
with
I expect
you,
Anthony Miller to get those short passes, and rack up points with those short passes. He may not get a ton of total yards, but I expect him, get at least opportunity for 6-7 receptions in this game just based on a short passing game.
How about Cohen, Jordan Howard, and on the other side, Isaiah Crowell?
And with Cohen, it's a thing of, they could throw him the ball and he can gain yards after the catch. So I think it really plays to Cohen. Trey Burton is really touchdown dependent, so I don't know how much that hurts him. Although Mitch Trubisky has started to lean on him more, I think in terms of receptions, it would be good for him. In terms of Isaiah Crowell, it's not a good matchup, period. The Bears are like fourth against the run.
Yeah. There was a thought, Jim, earlier this week that Khalil Mack was kind of banged up. There's no indication at this point that he's not going to play, but I just wonder if the weather is how it is. Would he be in a snap count? Would he come out of the game early? You just worry about that kind of stuff if you're thinking that Chicago is a DFS defense of the day, that kind of stuff. This is a very tough task for Darnold today to go on the road here in this kind of weather against this defense. I think a lot of people are going to be picking the Bears for DFS, but I wonder if all of these factors mitigate it in some way or amplify it.
Well, look, you know, we saw with Mac last week that while he played, he wasn't 100%. You could tell that, you know, after every play they showed him, he seemed to be limping a little bit gimpy. So, you know, I expect him to play. Will he be 100%? No. But, again, this weather doesn't help Darnold at all. Plus the fact that Robbie Anderson is out, Anunua is still out. You know, you're talking about Kurse, maybe Rishard Matthews being in play here. You know, it doesn't look good for Darnold. No. Chicago's defense can be thrown upon. I mean, so far in the season, they're 25th against opposing quarterbacks in points per game, 26th against opposing wide receivers. So they can be thrown upon. But in that wind with those wide receivers, it's going to be hard to trust that Jets passing game at all. I think this actually could come down to be a run fest. And in that way, I don't like Crowell against Chicago's defense.
Yeah, we'll come back. We'll talk about all the games. That was just a highlight game I wanted to push out there. We got bye weeks this week. Falcons, Cowboys, Chargers, and Titans. That London game is going to start in about 70 minutes. And the one thing I can guarantee you that the three of us are here, the one thing that it means is that none of us won Powerball. Come back and talk quarterbacks after this.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
We're off to the races this morning. Thanks for catching up with us this morning. If you want to hit us up on Twitter, do so at FNTSY Radio. On Twitter, I'm at Mike Blewett. Scott is at Scotty RotoX, and Jim is at Fantasy Taz. We've got Lineup Lock Live coming up at 10. So, again, I'm out of here at 9. These guys will take the hour from 9 to 10. Only other piece of injury news so far is Chris Thompson from Washington. Expected to play on a increasingly depleted Giants defense by one way or the other, Jim. Just losing players left and right. There might be more to go.
About that. You really don't want to talk about that. It would take up way too much time for me to rant about the Giants giving up snacks for a freaking fifth-round pick.
I thought they were going to get way more than that.
Big Blue View with Jim Day.
That was Weekend Fantasy update yesterday for you guys. There you go.
I really thought that they were going to get more than that, but it's $20 million out the door, so I guess that was a determining factor in how much they were going to get. Player-wise, they should have gotten more, Jim, but they did dump a lot of salary with that move.
Yeah, they dumped a lot of salary. They get nothing, absolutely nothing in return. They've had 9 fifth-round draft picks in the last 10 years. Only one is still left with the team. There's 6 of them no longer in the league.
Yeah. It's bad times right there. So, all right, let's try to turn.
Don't get me started.
Yeah, I know. I shouldn't have done it. But let's turn the barge around and get to Scott's rankings. Here we go. So we're going to go quarterbacks first. As always, you can find these rankings on rotoexperts.com in the exclusive Edge package. And Scotty's updating these constantly, and he updated them just this morning. So this is the latest, and if any major
news. About 2 minutes ago with the Allen Robinson news.
There you go. So, Allen Robinson and Chris Thompson news just broke. So it's got updates accordingly. So Pat Mahomes starts out at number one. You know, one of his least productive games of the year from a passing standpoint was against Denver in Denver. But now he's got him at home, and I don't quarrel at all with him being number one. Denver's in a very tough spot. I think people are playing for their jobs today on Denver, and we'll see if they can put up a fight. But Pat Mahomes comes in at number one. Aaron Rodgers at number two. When the spreads opened this morning, earlier this week, he was a 9.5 point underdog. He'd never been that big of an underdog in his career. It has come down now, though. It's down to 8 points. He's still obviously a pretty heavy underdog, but Scott expects him to go on the road and at least put some stats up, even if you think they can't win the game. So he comes in at number two. Kirk Cousins at number three against New Orleans. That's a rematch. That playoff game was replaying last night on NFL Network, and I watched a bunch of that. That's really an amazing game. That like everybody's going to remember it for the Diggs ending, the walk-off touchdown catch, Minnesota miracle, but the entirety of the game was miraculous too, because New Orleans was down 17-0, came all the way back, and ended up losing it. But we'll see if they can exact a piece of revenge tonight against Kirk Cousins. Andrew Luck comes in at number four on an Oakland team. Like, Jim, you think your Giants team is depleted? Oakland doesn't have anybody left soon. So Luck comes in at number four. Ben Roethlisberger at home, number five. Tom Brady at six. Drew Brees at seven. Jameis at eight. Andy Dalton at nine. And Jared Goff at 10. So I'll pause there. First question, Scott. Rams have the highest implied total on the slate, really, at about 32 or so. But you have Goff down at number 10. QB1, not a bad ranking. But are you just suspecting that most of this is going to go through Gurley and a little bit less through Goff today?
I think, you know, the danger with Goff every week is you get a lot of passing yardage, but whenever they get near the goal line, you know, first and goal from the eighth is like first and goal from the half-yard line for Gurley, you know, compared to everybody else. And, you know, what happens is, you know, and I see this with Goff in a lot of my seasonal leagues, even though I'm rolling out him in tournament daily, is that, you know, his touchdown totals get hurt by Gurley. They just use him so much in that green zone.
True. Jim, any of those top 10 jump out at you guys that you like, don't like? Jameis Winston consistently showing up as a QB1 because this team, they get the win last week. So I guess it's not fair for me to say it's coming off the rails because they're coming off a win. But it was against the Browns, and the Browns were browning it up during the course of that game. Nobody seemed to want to take it. But here is Jameis, and he's putting up numbers here as he's come back from his suspension.
Well, look, they got basically no running game. They got no defense. So that, you know, just points to a quarterback who's going to continue to throw the ball a ton. He's got some good weapons around him. You know, it all works out. He's playing great fantasy football right now for us, and hard to feast. A lot of people have him a lot higher than the eight that Scott does, but I'm with Scott. There's a lot of great quarterback options today, and I think eight is right about right. Dalton at nine, you know, look, Dalton looked like a great matchup last week, didn't come. This week, you know, at Tampa Bay looks like another great matchup, but do we get the Dalton of last week or do we get a bounce back? I think we get a bounce back, but there's a lot of people out there that have serious doubts about Dalton.
Well, this game isn't on national television, so he should be okay.
And not a prime time game where they're 1-17 on the road. I get it.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Winston and Dalton are playing in a little bit of a weather situation, but at like we just detailed, it's like 12-mile-an-hour winds. It shouldn't be that bad, but it will be a little bit rainy and a little windy. I'll keep going through the next 10. We got Mitch Trubisky at number 11 facing the Jets at home. Cam Newton at number 12 against Baltimore. Carson Wentz kicking it off in exactly 1 hour against the Jaguars. Depleted secondary, you know, all kinds of issues going on that we mentioned in the first segment. Joe Flacco at 14, Matt Stafford at 15. I'm starting Matt Stafford today because I have Matt Ryan on bye. Just kind of works out that they're going up against a defense. Scott, you being the Seahawks.com contributor as well, your expectations for Stafford here are obviously a little bit lower. There's no Theo Riddick today for Detroit, but the receiving core is healthy. Just give me your thoughts, really, on how this game plays out. I have Seattle as an upset special today because I'm not a full believer in the Lions. So give me some thoughts on this game today and Stafford in particular.
Both these teams are playing well. You know, Seahawks coming and having won three of their last four. I'm taking the under on this game. Mm. I think it's going to be physical and lower scoring here, not fantasy friendly. No team runs more than the Seahawks right now in terms of percentage of plays. And And the Lions want to be very physical as well. So I see this as a lower scoring game. I do like Golden Tate, you know, in the revenge game this week as well. Kerryon Johnson should have at least a decent day, although the Seahawks get KJ right back this week. Marvin Jones could be a sleeper for daily purposes. Is, you know, he's on the right side against Trey Flowers, you know, was a rookie who's converted over from safety. It might not be as easy for the other receivers. And on the other side, look, Russell Wilson has thrown touchdown passes in each of his three touchdown passes in each of his last two games, while you know, not attempting much. But you know, this the Seahawks offensive line, which everybody was blasting in week two, all of a sudden the last few weeks has played really, really well. And this will be a good test for them against that defensive line in Detroit.
Yeah, I was just about to bring that up, Scott. It's a good transition because, Jim, the Lions actually have the highest adjusted sack rate in the NFL this year. So Wilson could be seeing some pressure. He's well-equipped to deal with it. But nonetheless, he could be under some pressure today. I agree with Scott. I tend to think that this game will be a little bit more low-scoring. And Seattle will try to maybe take the air out of the ball a little bit and utilize that rushing attack that they've utilized here over the course of the last month. So you differ at all about, you know, Stafford and the upside of Stafford and Wilson today?
Well, I agree. Absolutely. It's hard to give Stafford upside if he's not throwing the ball a ton, which he hasn't had to do with Kerryon Johnson stepping up and running the ball good. You know, they finally are starting to establish a running game that they really haven't had in years past. And, you know, the one thing we could always count on with Stafford as a quarterback was we knew he was going to throw the ball enough to be fantasy relevant. Well, lately he's not throwing the ball enough. And I think this ranking by Scott is like literally spot on where I would have him.
Yeah, so he's got Stafford and Wilson right behind one another. So Matt Stafford at 15, Russ Wilson at 16, Eli at 17, Deshaun Watson down at 18. I think he's going to outpace that ranking. C.J. Beathard at 19. We just got some news that Matt Breida will be limited today. Jim, as you corrected me on last week's show, rightfully so, I think I attempted to say that one of the teams is the most banged up, and you're like, no. It's the Niners, and I think you continue to be right. Matt Breida is limited. Pierre Garçon is out. C.J. Beathard going up against Arizona. A little bit of a revenge game here in the fact that the Cardinals' only win was against the Niners a couple of weeks back. So, Jim, C.J. Beathard, the Niners' offense in general, do you see any opportunity here for anybody to get the scoring going? Goodwin, Kittle, anybody?
Well, Kittle has been a very solid play with Beathard. You know, they have the history. They played together in college, and it keeps showing. He's been their top targeted guy, continues to be that play. So I'm not off of Kittle at all this week. I like him even against his tough matchup just because they're going to throw the ball, and he gives them the best option, especially with Garçon out. You know, Mostert is another big play. Everybody's on Mostert this week. You know, with Breida, you know, not expected to play, but now he is expected to play, but they're saying he's going to be on a snap count. You know, it's hard to trust there. With him leaving the game early twice in the last 2 weeks, at this point, I would say start Mostert anyway. I don't care if Breida's going to play. At this point, I don't have faith in him lasting the full game, so I would say Mostert is a good play. Even if Breida starts, I think Mostert gets plenty of opportunity in this game.
I'm due to Mostert mash.
That was terrible.
It was not great, but it was timely. It's timely because of the time of year it is. I get it. It's not terrible. it wasn't great. So Baker. So coming in after C.J. Beathard is Case Keenum and Baker Mayfield, two guys who back to back are going up against. They're in tough spots, right? I think we could both suspect that both Keenum and Baker are going to have to play some catch up at some point today, Scott. And I just wonder, I don't disagree with your rankings necessarily. I just wonder if either or both of them may have to be putting the ball up a ton just because Roethlisberger and Mahomes are getting it done on the other side of the field.
Well, I'll say one thing about that. You know, I think, and I'm not saying you necessarily, I think there's a widespread, you know, sort of angle that, okay, this team's going to play catch-up and they'll score points. Sometimes teams don't always score points when they play catch-up. And I don't like Keenum because his Kansas City defense has played better at home than they have on the road. And, you know, I could see this being like a 2-touchdown, 4-interception kind of game, maybe a 1-touchdown, 3-interception kind of game. The Cleveland offensive line is not playing well at all. The Steelers are like among the league leaders in sacks right now. So there's no reason to like these guys, I don't think. Quarterback is a deep position. I think there are guys a lot ahead of them who are a lot safer plays.
So last couple of guys I'll just throw out there. Brock Osweiler, 22, Bortles at 23, Derek Carr at 24, Alex Smith, 25. So from a DFS standpoint, you know, the guys that Daily Roto is sort of on is the top projection is Pat Mahomes, but he's extremely expensive on FanDuel. So he's going to be a little bit easier getting your lineups on DraftKings. They really like Jared Goff because of the high implied team total. It's more of a DraftKings lean if you're talking about cash. But then two of the other guys, Jim, that we mentioned already, they really like Andy Dalton because the Bucks can't cover anybody. And they really like Andrew Luck, I think, for obvious reasons. Even as a Giants fan, I think you can see that the Raiders are, at this point, probably in the biggest downward spiral of anybody in the league.
Well, yeah, hard not to think so. I mean, they're already talking about Gruden losing the locker room because of the trades.
Yeah.
And, you know, all this stuff going on there.
Weird.
You know,
he trades Khalil Mack, and people are like, what are we doing here?
Yeah. Well, then he turns around and trades Amari Cooper. Now, I think they got a great deal in that trade, getting a one back for Amari Cooper. So I think they did well, but still people are grumbling. Just don't know what to expect from this offense at this point. It's really hard, you know, and just real quick, you know, we were talking about Mayfield and Keenum having to play catch up. Meanwhile, we're recommending everybody play Mustard. I mean, Mostert.
So I
don't get it.
I figure Scott got it. Well, we're playing Mustard. Ketchup and Mustard.
Oh. Okay.
I figure you got in a bad one. I had to get in a bad one.
Yeah, maybe worse.
If you're looking at cheap tournament values, guys like Derek Carr and Alex Smith and Case Keenum, for the reasons that we've kind of already mentioned, would be interesting. But, you know, quarterback's relatively straightforward. I feel like this week you got a couple of games where teams are expected to put up big points, the Rams and the Chiefs and the Steelers. And even the Bengals. You don't often see the Bengals with an implied total at 29. But honestly, that Bucks defense has been miserable. If you've picked on, there's been a few secondaries that you could have, look, the scoring is up and everything, Scott, but there's been a few defenses this year, secondaries, that if you've picked on them all year, you've made some money in DFS, and that's the Bucks and the Eagles jump out too as two teams that couldn't cover anybody. The Steelers early couldn't cover anybody, but those two teams continue to really struggle. Tampa has a very hard time with opposing wide receivers for the last few seasons, and they haven't been able to get it fixed.
Well, last week they played a little bit better. They weren't in leaky with many big plays last week. And, you know, firing a coordinator will do that. But the Bengals have a lot of weapons, and this is a nice bounce-back spot for Tyler Boyd.
Yeah, and Gerald McCoy and Vinnie Curry are out for Tampa, too. So for whatever pass rush they were going to have, it's even more hampered by injuries. Go ahead, Jim.
Can I ask you guys a question?
Absolutely.
Am I being totally crazy as thinking Josh Rosen as a contrarian play in a GPP based on the fact that Byron Leftwich is now taking over offensive coordinator and I think we see a change? Is that just totally off the board?
I'll answer first, Scott, and then I'll throw it over to you. I think that in a GPP, you can take any kind of shot with quarterback and build around him. But I think projection-wise, they just haven't shown any ability to be efficient on offense. So, yeah, is there always a little bit of a bump when there's a coordinator change? Scott literally just detailed that with the Tampa defense. It wasn't great, but it was an improvement. I think you could see the same thing here. It won't be great, but there could be an improvement. Scott, any different thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think Arizona's one that you look at today, like we were talking about. It's you know, Byron Leftwich was actually an intern for Bruce Arians, and you know, Arians was the one that used David Johnson, right? So there's some hope for Arizona, you know, David Johnson today.
Yeah, they obviously had to make a move. Both of these teams that made coordinator switches had to make a move. It's weird to think that Steve Wilks is fighting for his job. I don't think he is. He just got there. But certainly Dirk Cutter is in Tampa. I have them under 6.5 on the year. I'm a little unsettled by the fact that they already have 3 wins, but see what happens today. Rooting hard for the Bengals, which I never do. So we'll come back. We'll do running backs after the break. It's Mike, Jim, and Scott on FST Game Day. We'll be right back.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Back on FST, talking running backs here in a minute, but if you enjoy playing daily fantasy sports but are sick of dealing with pros using algorithms to select hundreds of lineups and entries, try the Props Builder tool at mybookie.ag. So forget having to create multiple lineups, ditch the hassle of dealing with late scratches, and avoid experts winning 90% of the cash. Invest in the players that you want without all those salary caps. And if you sign up for a new account using the promo code FNTSY, you can receive a 50% deposit bonus. No more dealing with late lineup scratches, Corey Parson. No experts to compete against Mike Cardano. Just you and the prop that you choose. Go to mybookie.ag, enter promo code FNTSY upon sign up, and choose your matchups using the Props Builder tool. It's mybookie.ag, promo code FNTSY. So before we get to the running backs, let me do a quick rundown of the injuries, because we talked about some. It's been a little scattershot, so I just want to make sure people have a good understanding. As Jim detailed, like Quincy Enunwa's out, Robbie Anderson is out, even Tremaine Johnson is out for the Jets, so that could impact how you feel about Anthony Miller or Taylor Gabriel today. So additional injuries, Allen Robinson, already ruled out, and Eric Kush out for them. So Von Miller is questionable, but head coach Vance Joseph ended any suspense saying that he'll play. Royce Freeman is out. Deshaun Hamilton is out. So there was some action on the waiver wire this week regarding Devontae Booker, hoping he'll see some touches, but this should be more of a Philip Lindsay game, right, Scott?
Yeah, it should. It's a really good matchup for Lindsay here. You know, some people have talked about Devontae Booker, and I think he'll get in there for some pass-catching purposes, but Lindsay, who I have in the top 10 in my lineup ranks on rotoexperts.com, has pretty much earned this job right from the first game of the season.
Yeah. I have Philip Lindsay in a couple of leagues, and I think this is last week. Now, this week is the first week that I'm really playing him. Because I have buys and I have other injured players, I just haven't known when to put him out there because they've been sharing the ball, Jim. It's been a difficult, like he is getting double digit touches, so I should have trusted him more, but it's been tough because Freeman is getting the same double digit number of touches and getting those shots right near the goal line.
Yeah, it's been tough. I totally agree with you. You know, and not only that, but Booker has actually run more routes than either of them in the passing game. So it is hard to know which one of these guys you want to start every week. Luckily, this week with Freeman out, it really, like Scott says, vaults Lindsay way up in this matchup against the Chiefs. My only concern there is if, you know, the Chiefs get out to that early lead, which they are definitely possible of doing here, does that really limit Lindsay? And all of a sudden we see Devontae Booker being more in play in the passing game.
I've seen a lot of sites with very higher Courtland Sutton projections because of the dynamic that you're talking about, maybe some more three wide receiver sets and things of that nature. So we'll see. A few other things to go about. I already talked about the Bucs injuries. The Bengals have ruled out 6 players. Vontaze Burfict, Gio Bernard, Tyler Croft, Darqueze Dennard, John Ross, and another linebacker. So no Gio Bernard. It's the Joe Mixon day. The Daily Roto guys love Joe Mixon. We'll get to that in a minute. Theo Riddick, I already mentioned, was out. The Panthers ruled out Torrey Smith. We talked about Chris Thompson. He's going to play. Jameson Crowder's out again. My single biggest mistake I've made in fantasy football this year is I picked up Jameson Crowder and I cut Marlon Mack. That happened like probably a month ago. because I was just tired of Mac not coming. Yeah, I know. I was tired of Mac not coming back. And it was exacerbated by the fact that the Colts couldn't run at all. So my thought process was, well, even when he comes back, what's he going to do? And this is what he's doing. So despite the fact I'm having a pretty good season, that was a huge mistake I made. Matt Breida, we talked about being limited. We talked about Pierre Garçon being out. Packers, Geronimo Allison off the injury report. Randall Cobb is back in. So keep in mind those guys. For the Rams, Cooper Kupp, doubtful. He's expected to sit out. Vikings. The Vikings right now have a ton of injuries. So keep that in mind for tonight's game. No Dalvin Cook. No Andrew Sandejo. No Anthony Barr. No Riley Reiff. Xavier Rhodes and Linval Joseph are probably going to play, but they're questionable. So they're very banged up. The Pats have nine guys questionable. That's tomorrow night. We can deal with that tomorrow. But I guess I really should bring it up because I'll transition now into the running back position because Sony Michel practiced on Saturday, Scott, but he's doubtful. LeSean McCoy is still in concussion protocol, although people are saying that it's leaning towards him playing. I personally think you can't play either guy. I have LeSean. Michel, I don't think is much of a discussion, but I'm not playing McCoy in the leagues where I have him. I have Latavius Murray in over him now because I'm not risking a setback here.
Yeah, what you want to do is when I always say, when you're in doubt, just go with a healthy player. So if your other options, say Jordan Howard or Chris Carson, you know, don't sit there and fret about it. You don't want to worry on Monday night and have to plop in Marcus Murphy or maybe even Kenjon Barner, who I think is just way overrated in terms of the contribution that he's going to make. He's really a journeyman scat back. Just have the peace of mind and go with the healthy guy. As for Sony Michel, go to rotoexperts.com this morning and check out the latest from Inside Injuries. They're saying that he might need 2 to 4 weeks to optimally heal.
Yeah. So, this is a quick note I got sent to me on some of the guys we just talked about. This is Daily Roto. They slightly docked Joe Mixon and Philip Lindsay in a final round of projection updates. Mixon's yard per target baseline was a little high, and we scaled back some of the workhorse role for Lindsay, given his size, to be on the caution side. His size, he's only 5'8", 190, just a little bit of a smaller, quote-unquote, workhorse back. In FanDuel cash games, we use using all three of the Mixon, Connor, Hunt trio is a very viable route, with Lindsay slightly downgraded and likely a popular one. So projections slightly prefer Tyreek Hill price to Kareem Hunt, but Hunt projects for a slightly stronger floor. So let's get to your rankings, Scott, which you can find on rotoexperts.com. Again, exclusive edge package. We'll do the PPR rankings right now for running backs. Todd Gurley is the highest projected skill player by a wide margin. Right now they have him over 30 points for dailyroto.com. So Todd Gurley is way in front. He's number one, but he's way in front of Kareem Hunt, who's at number two. For Scott's rankings.
Yeah, he's going to be hard to get in lineups today, though.
It's yes, like, he is $11,000.
Like, plays to have them in there. Yeah.
On FanDuel, $9,800 on DK. More possible in DraftKings, I think. But, man, that's an expensive price tag. You'd have to really drop down at quarterback and at wide receiver and doing that. Like, here's the problem when you're talking about DFS. They say he does deliver the $30,000, Scott. Say he does deliver the 30 DraftKings points. You've paid $9,800 for him. So it's effectively 3X, which is what you want. But the way you win, like, tournaments is when guys go 4 and 5X. And there's very little chance, as good as he is, there's very little chance he's going to have a 50-point game. You know what I mean?
Yeah, although, you know, you never know with him.
I agree. You know, it is possible.
It might happen.
It is possible, yeah. But you figure if they got up huge, maybe Malcolm Brown sees some targets. So Kareem Hunt at number two, James Conner at number three, Saquon Barkley comes in at number four, Joe Mixon at five, we just talked about him, Kamara at six against Minnesota. Again, they are very injured. No Anthony Barr, no Andrew Sandejo, and they have not been good even when those guys have been healthy. James White at number seven, Philip Lindsay at eight, Tariq Cohen at nine, Chris McCaffrey at 10. James White, he has at number seven, Jim. With Sony Michel out, White becomes a rare sort of workhorse scenario for the Pats. I know Barner will see some touches here, but James White in a really good spot tomorrow night.
Well, I'm with Scott in that I don't think anything of Kenyon Barner. I mean, there's always the chance that he gets a one-yard plunge for a touchdown. Outside of that, I just don't see him doing much in the running game at all. I mean, he may get some shots here and there, but I just can't have any faith in him whatsoever. So, yeah, White, you know, in a perfect place to – I don't know if he needs to even see increased touches. All he needs to see is the same amount of touches he's been seeing, because he's been decimating everybody with what he's doing already. And while Buffalo is a tougher defense and should play a little tougher, you got to love White in this matchup.
Yeah, Scotty.
Yeah, and here's the thing about Barner, too. Do we even know he's going to get a one-yard plunge? The guy's 5'9", 185. You know, I've seen people saying, like in the Roto Expert Slack chat, saying, oh, I'm glad I picked up Barner. You know, he can have that running back lead type role. And if they're running out the clock, then, you know, he can get a touchdown and stuff like that. Kenyon Barner's not built for that at all. He's a journeyman scat back. Opportunity doesn't always lead to production.
I
said there was a chance. I didn't say I liked him, Scotty. In fact, I said I didn't like him. You're taking this to an antagonistic view here.
Well, I'm running with what you said and talking more about what the public script and narrative him on is this. I mean, there's a chance they might hand it to the fullback, you know, at the goal line. Better opportunity getting in.
But I do have one question for you, and this leads to Scott. I mean, Scott, you have Kareem Hunt at number two, which I totally agree with. But to me, that makes Kareem Hunt like a great play today at DFS, because, you know, while you're talking about Gurley being at 9,800 on DraftKings, you got Hunt down at 7,100 going against this Denver defense that until last week was getting destroyed by running backs.
Yeah, the Daily Roto guys, and we'll be on. I'll be on Lineup Lock Live. Ricky Sanders will join us at 10:15 to kind of give some depth to their article, their podcast. So 10:15 to 10:30, I'll be on with him, as well as Marshall Faulk and Sam Garns and Corey Parson will be here with me, breaking down the entire slate of games. But the top three guy, the top projection is Todd Gurley, but the guys they really like the most are Mixon and Connor, with Hunt right behind there. Mainly because he's been seeing more targets in the pass game. Remember, like those first couple of weeks of the year, people were concerned that he might not be seeing goal line touches. He didn't see a target in one of those games. Well, there's been an increase there. So his well-rounded repertoire of talent is being represented now, and you've seen him crushing it for the last few weeks, Scott.
Yeah, it certainly has. You know, I think you actually put it best. I don't know if I could add anything to that.
All right, so let's keep going then. Into the next 10, Adrian Peterson up against the Giants, the Snacks Harrison-less New York Giants. So Adrian Peterson really projected well today. I know Jim, always the Giants fan, irritated about this. David Johnson comes in at number 12 against the Niners. A little bit more production as of late. Kerryon Johnson at 13. We mentioned him earlier in the show. Good opportunities here for Kerryon Johnson today with Theo Riddick out. Helps him a little bit conceivably. He doesn't see a huge uptick in passing targets necessarily. That generally goes more to Golden Tate. But Kerryon Johnson, you could suspect, could have a good game here today. Nick Chubb at number 14. Latavius Murray at 15. Mark Ingram at 16. Then T.J. Yeldon, who plays in about 35 minutes in London. Raheem Mostert. Now, number 18, didn't expect to see his name in the top 20 at any point this year, but here he is, along with Jalen Richard, another guy I didn't expect to see that from. You had Kenny Drake at 20, Chris Thompson.
Telling you a lot about the position, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely it is.
Sure is.
T.J. Yeldon, Mostert, Richard, and Drake all round out the back of the top 20. Drake, obviously, we had some expectations for, but those three... really interesting to look at. You have Chris Thompson at 21 and Marlon Mack at 22. So those guys, I mean, let's just focus on Mack for a second, since I screwed up so royally by dropping him in the one league. Jim, what are your expectations going forward? I honestly did it because I think this is a keeper league. So I kept him and then still cut him, because my expectation was that even though Hines was the pass catcher and many people projected Jordan Wilkins to potentially take over, I thought Mack was a talent for them. And I thought that when he did come back, they would make him the primary back, but it looked like they were going to share the ball throughout the year. It looked like it was gonna, the ball was going to be shared, and then they weren't doing anything on the ground. And I got desperate at wide receiver position, so I cut him. It's a big mistake. You know, I take it on myself. But your expectations for Mac going forward, Scott has him as an RB2 today. He was an RB1 last week. So what are your thoughts?
Well, look, he's an RB2 today, if I could speak for Scott, at least in my opinion, because of the injury. We don't know, you know, how close to 100% he's going to be, how much he's actually going to pay.
Please renegotiate my contract as well.
And, you know, it's because this is a great matchup for him going up against Oakland. Like we talked about earlier, Oakland's totally in disarray. We don't know what to expect from that entire team today. But if Mac was fully healthy, Mac would probably be in that top 12. And, you know, not this far down, but it really comes to that injury. We just don't know how close to 100% he's going to be. So, you know, it's not a risky play. As an RB2 or a flex play, I still think he's a good play, but it would be hard to consider him an RB1 with that injury risk.
Yeah, I mean,
he's correct in his assessment, because I had him at number 12 when I started first doing my ranks for the week on late Tuesday night. But, you know, then he had two DNPs, which is never good. And then he came back and practiced on full on Friday. And when a running back has, you know, something up with his wheel, it's never a good thing. So it's hard to rank him any higher than that because of the health.
Yeah, the NFL Network's Ian Rappaport is reporting that Mac has a, quote, good shot at playing in Week 8. So it's not a definite. We suspect that it will happen, but, you know, we can't guarantee it. That's a 4 o'clock game too, so you have to keep that in mind as you're putting your lineups together. So a couple last guys. You got Alex Collins, 23, Ike Crowell at 24, Lamar Miller at 25. Miller had a monster game. You have Jordan Howard at 26. So we talked about those guys very briefly before. Jordan Howard and Isaiah Crowell in what could be sloppy conditions, Jim. Bilal Powell out for the year, conceivably out for his career. Today may not be the day for Isaiah Crowell, even if he sees a fair amount of touches. He's always worth a play because he could see 15-plus touches, but this may not be his most efficient day.
Yeah, well, that's always been the problem with Crowell. You just never know when to start him. He's a great drafter in a best ball league because you don't have to worry about this. But in a season long, it's just so hard to know when he's going to have that good game. And it doesn't seem to be what the matchup is that decides it. You know, he goes up against tough defenses, has a great game. He goes up against a bad defense, does nothing. It just... whether or not he gets into that groove. And, man, it's hard to think he gets into that groove against Chicago, even with a banged-up Khalil Mack.
To your point, he had his 200-yard game a couple of weeks ago. I was at the game. And no, I wasn't. I was at the Colts game. But he had the 200-yard game against Denver, and I didn't play him in any of the leagues where I have him. I just had him on the bench. 30 points just went by the wayside.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Nobody saw that coming from him, especially on the limited touches. You just don't expect that. So, you know, it is. At one point, though, I would really love to discuss David Johnson a little bit.
Okay. You guys can do that at the top of the hour. It's Jim and Scott the rest of the way. I'll see you on Lineup Lock Live at 10 with Corey Parsons, Sam Garns, and Marshall Faulk.